At this point, I call this session to order. Please, let's have a roll call.
Mr. Schmidt?
Here.
Commissioner Niemer?
Here.
Commissioner Shepard?
Present.
Mr. Evans?
Present.
Chair Weber?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance is our next point of movement.
Your exercise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We have reached the general public comment section for any subject that's not on the agenda.
I'd just like to thank you all for hearing me today, and thank you for the jobs you guys are doing. I see progress being made in the harbor. I do. I know you guys got a lot on your plate, but I do see progress. And we were saying earlier, this is one of the last parts of Dunbar County that isn't affected as much as you drive through town. There's not trash laying everywhere. There's not Night of the Living Dead. And it's one of the only havens that I see here in this town. And I'd like, I got to commend security. Your security here does an excellent job at trying to keep that element out of here. And they're doing a good job. Security deserves to be recognized because there's a lot on their plate going on, and they keep the dock safe. They keep things from getting stolen. The only other thing that I wanted to address is that I guess it was a closed meeting earlier when it came to the dock over here, Fisherman's Catch Seafood, Peter Wynn. It appears that up and down the coast, this man owes like $750,000. He owes myself and my son $60,000, has since last crab season, along with many others. And even up until yesterday, they're maintaining that they've got an SBA loan coming. They're going to pay everybody. That's great if it turns out to be true. But I'd like a safeguard. I'd like this commission to make a judgment on by the end of the month if he's using leasing this Harbor District property and using it for a fraudulent use. His lease needs to be terminated. And anybody associated with him that is looking to buy crab at his place and funnel it to him should be exempt from leasing the property as well. I would hope that you guys would debate on that and give the local fishermen a little support here, because doing the guy or all that, I just wish Peter would pay everybody, to be honest with you. That my hope is there. That hope has been with all of us for a long time. And if it doesn't happen, I think that you guys are the only tool we have to use to say, no, this is not appropriate, usage of our property, and this is no way to treat your fishermen. And we're going to support the fishermen, and we're going to terminate your lease. So I hope that you guys can help us with that. And that's basically all I have to say. I'm not much of a speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So when Patrick was our harbor master, and he moved his office out to the Coast Guard station, that gate was open during his working hours. And so now Mr. Rademacher, since he's homeless, he's living out there at the Coast Guard station, and he keeps the gate closed during working hours. So I don't understand why you'd have a harbor master. He's supposed to be available to the public. He's either going to have to make his office here or at his residence, but the gates need to be open. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike's made a, if I could say something, Mike's made an open door policy out there.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
As I alluded to in my previous comment, this board spends far too much time in general session. There's not a county board or administration or authority or commission that can't get their business done in under 2 hours unless there's some extreme issue where half the county shows up at the board meeting. typically there's just one or two of us that show up, represent the public. And it makes no sense for you to spend hours talking about minutes. Makes no sense for you talking about your report to the grand jury to spend an hour of nitpicking over words that are usually redundant or are meaningless to the context of the meeting or the report. You need to trim it down so that you have a functional meeting, that you actually talk about Harbor business, that you don't get off into the weeds, waste not only your time, but the public's time. The priority, at least as far as I can tell from the last few meetings, is to try to get some sort of functional income into the harbor so that you can address your financial needs. That probably should be the focus of this meeting for the next foreseeable future. And I hope that what I'm seeing is leading in that direction. So I applaud you from that standpoint. A lot of people have issues with your harbor master. I see it regularly in these meetings. I ask people that have issues with your current harbor master, what is your solution there? Do you have another candidate in mind? And usually the answer is no, but the current harbor master doesn't produce any kind of functional harbor. My time at the harbor was perhaps 50 years ago, in which case the same kinds of issues were chronic in the harbor. So there's nothing new. Anybody that says it's any different, I don't know about that. I had my reservations for Mike. At least it sounds like we're moving forward. So for that, I give him credit. Thank you.
I'm all for shorter meetings. We're trying to be transparent.
I understand that. Okay. Have another person. I'm going to direct my comments to Commissioner Smith. This is a direct quote from the Redwood Voice quotation. I want him, which would be me, to know that I'm willing to go to jail to show you are wrong and stand up for what's right, Schmidt said. And I'm willing to go to jail. You better be damn certain, I'm willing to put you, your ass, in jail when you screw up. This is esteemed Commissioner, Mr. Dan Schmidt. I guess I'm living inside his brain rent-free. We now have IonDelNorte.com. That's a website and a podcast. And here's what you'll read in IonDelNorte.com. You'll read about the news. Anything that happens in DelNorte County, we're going to report. That's free. Opinions and commentary and even guest interviews will follow. And you'll have to join our premium service, which is a whopping $10 a month. And you'll see people in the community who are the newsmakers being interviewed. Now, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, Schmidt, Niemer are a cancer on this board. Schmidt must be censured for his weaponizing of his newspaper, albeit with a BB gun. Schmidt and Niemer will deplete harbor resources with lawfare and will not stop until the harbor is drained to death by lawfare, frivolous lawfare. I rescinded the recall temporarily because, as you know, the cost on a standalone election is $125,000, $130,000. That would be onerous and a burden to you. I won't do that. And even having the recall effort in June is still probably about half that cost. So
The recall will resume, and I'll open it in the window in 2026 at a cost of $9,000 to $13,000 per candidate, rather than the onerous $130,000 fees that Harvard will have to endure if we move forward with this, and I'm hoping that will be the case. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask you to please remind the commissioners in question that when we get to their board comments, that it has nothing to do with the answering these allegations that I'm making to you now. It is only what Mr. Schmidt has done. And I will remind you that I'm finishing off my thought here, that Mr. Schmidt has contacted several members on this petition recall, some in pejorative manner, saying that they're wrong, and name calling on me. I won't mention who it is. And they've reported this as voter intimidation. I've actually checked on it's not voter intimidation. It's just plain harassment, knocking on someone's door. He did so on my home a couple of nights.
Yeah.
May I finish my thought?
You get it up to 10 seconds.
He came to my home and knocked on my door 10 times within a 10-minute period. I had to call the police and have him removed from my property. Therefore, he was arrested. That hearing will take place.
This is a phone. This is an irreplace,
so. Okay,
thank
you.
I'm done. Thank you.
Somebody else.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry Hemmingson. First of all, I'd like to say I appreciate all of you, and I have the utmost respect for all of you for doing this thankless job. And I got a little statement here that I want to read, and I want you in no way to think that this has any reflection on the respect that I have for you, or that. But I do think that there is some disappointment. I can be disappointed and still think that it's okay that you're here. So I want you to realize that. But it appears to me that this commission has time and time again overlooked the voices of many in our community. Instead, it has chosen to rely on advice from individuals whose credibility, quite frankly, deserve closer examination. I have asked on several occasions for a clear record of the Harbor Master's accomplishments. To this day, there has been no response. Silence, when accountability is requested, does not build trust, it erodes it. And those who have chosen to sign on to the recall efforts against fellow commissioners, I urge you to pause and reflect. What message are you sending when you turn on each other instead of working together for public good? This community deserves leadership rooted in integrity, fairness, and respect. You are strongest when every voice is heard and every concern is met with transparency and good faith. That is the standard you owe to the people you serve, and it's the standard you must hold going forward. And these are certainly just my opinions, but our Harbor Master has been continually focused on distractions that, in my opinion, are misleading and misinforming both the board and the public. At the last Harbor meeting I attended, and I'm not sure whether it was the last meeting but one of the meetings, I wrote some of this up quite a while ago, but we were discussing the USDA requiring insurance or not requiring insurance. And as it comes back, the information I've gotten, and I haven't really talked to anybody, says that now it is required. And so our Harbor Master told the board that it absolutely was not required. So was he misinformed, or was he misinforming? That's a big point. The harbor needs immediate and practical solutions that demand urgent attention. You should focus on utilizing the assets you currently have rather than worrying about those you do not. It may not help to dwell on the past, but I believe we are in our current situation because the decisions...
We're going to have the 10 seconds.
You got your 10 seconds.
We'll finish your thought.
Okay. Because of Fashion Blacksmith, the haul-up facility we once had was exceptional and essential, serving the entire West Coast.
The opportunities that have been and will continue to be lost are substantial, not only to the harbor and fishing fleet, but other local businesses. With the CARB harbor craft regulations requiring repowering of many vessels operating in or entering California waters, significant changes are already underway. Every vessel will be affected by 2032. Unfortunately, your decisions have pushed these business opportunities to Oregon. As a result, due to both regulation and opportunity, the fishing community is being forced to relocate its operations there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody else? Public comment? All right. Hearing none, seeing none, we move on to point two, grants update from Community System Solutions, CEO Mike Barr. Mike, are you online?
I am. Afternoon, commissioners. Thanks for having me here today. First off, on this one, I do apologize. I always like to give you guys a written report. And we do have an updated report from this week on MARED and an upcoming agenda item, and then two HMGP agenda items. And on this one, really wanted to talk about the filet station, and the filet station meeting just kept getting pushed. I have a few updates, and but I don't have some answers to really some key questions. So I'm just going to close this. The filet station started with two grants from the Del Norte and Tribal Lands Community Food Council, which is part of the Family Resource Center of the Redwoods. So there was a C grant to purchase the building that's there, and then a California Coastal grant to pay for the bathrooms, the little pop-up store, the software, the pads, some operation funds. And as we all know, Josh Mims was pushing this through, and permit had been submitted four times to Coastal Commission, and the permit kept coming back with them wanting it at a different space. So Josh left in February. At that same time, as it turns out, the Del Norte Tribal Lands Community Food Council split out from the Family Resource Center of the Redwoods. So Family Resource Center of the Redwoods was left with the grant, but they were also other grants, and that they have been trying to get their hands around and manage. So multiple months were lost there. So Family Resource Center of the Redwoods has now hired a new person to lead this project. That person was out last week and this week, so our meeting with them will be next week. Our understanding is that the permit has still not been issued, so we'll find out what the issue is there. The Family Resource Center did allocate funds for the pouring of the pad to a contractor to pour the pads. So we need to find out again has the permit been issued? If not, you know, we need to get that finished before the pads are poured. If it has been issued, you know, get the pads poured. So I wish I could give you exact timelines on everything, but the board was uncertain. Executive director was uncertain because they hired this group to manage it, and they're out. So that'll be updated next week. Any questions on that? And sorry if it's, you know, I don't have more firm exactly what's happening on this.
Can we think maybe that by next spring, March, April, May, we could get this completed?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. This location for this permit was picked by the Coastal Commission. They staff came out and actually picked the spot where it'll actually go after rejecting the four previous ones. So this week also, we've been working on the regional investment grant and working with GoBiz This grant not only had to be a regional grant application, it had to be a multi-regional, basically every port in the state. So we've been coordinating with GoBiz and all the ports. And this week we are finalizing the projects that would go in. And each port, there's no standalone project. Like, it has to be like three ports going after the same project for each port. So basically for Crescent City Harbor District, a seafood hub, basically to go along with the filet station, food packaging equipment, freezers, refrigeration, food marketing and sales program, from experts in the industry to assist commercial fishermen, permit assistance. So if other fishermen want to get all the permits needed to sell into the schools, that permit assistance and a loan fund for commercial fishermen, you know, for items that they need to grow their business. There will also be, and that's basically the seafood hub part of it. There's an aquaculture hub, so an aquaculture assistance with permits and a pilot project at the Crescent City Harbor District is in the grant application. Captain and crew, three captain and crew conferences across the state, one of them being in Del Norte, that is assistance with permits, regulations, how to access the loan funds, other training that captain and crews need. Partnership with the science centers across the state, and then an educational partnership with CR. And that one's focused on ocean education and classes that CR will be having. So that one's due November 5th, the pre-app. And so that's kind of what will be going in on that. There's still, we have another all harbor meeting on Friday to kind of finalize how this is going to happen. But that's the update on that one. My other updates I'll put into the agenda items as we talk about these grants coming on these next agenda items. So any questions on any of that?
Other questions? Huh? All right. Any questions from the public? It's a comment. Yeah.
Once you get the kitchen established, is it going to be a fee use area or is it free to the commercial fishermen?
I don't even think that's ever been a consideration.
I don't, you know, I've wondered about that too, and I'm not sure how that will be. I don't know, and I'm concerned about congestion with, but I mean, this hurdles we're going to have to come about. You know, I think a lot of it will depend on how much the maintenance staff is going to have to be in cleaning it. I mean, if they can maintain it themselves, I would think it'd be a nominal fee. But if we're putting a lot of time in keeping it clean or something, Mike, don't you think? Or
yeah, that's probably make it part of the ordinance too.
Yeah, we'll address the ordinance on it when we get it done. I've been wondering about the same thing. Coming up with some ideas.
Money generation.
All right.
Money generation.
Okay. Then let's move on to the next point. Consider and approve a consulting contract with risk management professionals to complete a district single jurisdiction local hazard mitigation plan for an amount not to exceed $17,055 to be paid for with hazard mitigation grant program HMGP funds.
So, commissioners, before you, is a memo about this. A couple of key points is again that the current hazard mitigation plan will basically expire at the end of this year when Del Norte County files their new plan, which Crescent City Harbor District is not a part of the county's plan. So, which actually really surprised Cal OES, because Cal OES in the grant that the county got, Crescent City Harbor District was listed as one of this, as one of the category, one of the groups that would be covered. So working with Cal OES staff, they did approve the use of hazard mitigation grant funds for this use, as before you, for somebody else to finish the plan. We did send out the RFP. We had three folks who asked questions about the RFP, three different organizations, but only one responded. It is a group that does this. This is one of the things they do. They do this for lots of ports. I got to look at some of their plans. They were great. I think they came in well below what I considered CSS would charge if we had to do this work. And they already work with Cal OES and have a relationship with the Cal OES staff person who's assigned to the Crescent City Harbor District for this plan. So that staff person in this past week remarked up the plan, the draft plan that was submitted, put a new comments out there for this new consultant to be able to complete the plan, and we'll work with them to be able to do that. So I think it's kind of a win-win. Again, we only need this plan if the harbor receives funds from new funds from Cal OES or FEMA. And of course, we harbor has an application in for disaster funding relief for the tsunami to Cal OES that is being reviewed. So I would like to say, you know, I really appreciate Sandy's wanting to put these on the agenda and then vote on them in the next meeting. But the next meeting is basically not for 3 weeks. So if we waited, we're going to lose a month, and we really need to have this done and reviewed back to the state before the end of December, which this group says they would be able to meet that timeline. So that's why I'm asking. It's the first time you've seen it. It's not for a lot. You've got grant funds to cover it. So I'm asking it for it to be approved today. Open to any questions, or I can drill down in directly into their response if you would like.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I have reviewed Mr. Barr's letter and extend the enclosed hazards mitigation plan proposal. The letter is very clear. We need a plan. We don't have one. We'll lose our plan when the board adopts its own plan. We need the plan in order to qualify for FEMA money. We don't have one. We need it. These guys can do a great job based on all the arguments set forth in Mike's letter and his presentation. I move that we accept or approve a contract with these management professionals to complete the district's single jurisdiction local hazard mitigation plan for an amount not to exceed $17,055.
I'll second the motion.
All right.
Mr. Barr, how long will this hazard mitigation plan be good for?
Yeah, that's what my question was.
No, thank you. I didn't put that in. I apologize. 5 years.
Five years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And it will coincide exactly with the county's plan. So hopefully the next time we get back into the county's plan. This sort of just fell through a dead zone as they started their plan. And there was a transition with Harbor Masters. And so.
My question is, will this pair with or coordinate with the tsunami policy that we're working on?
Yeah, we can't get that money until this is completed, is my understanding.
But we're also working separately on just a tsunami policy. Will they coordinate?
Separately, do you mean like a separate tsunami plan?
Yeah.
Well, that's not really part of this contract, right, Mike?
So tsunamis are listed as a hazard mitigation. And in this, we would reference, so any plans and policies adopted by the board would be referenced into this plan by reference. So yeah, the harbor has a plan or is creating a plan for that. We do have to talk a little bit the history in this. What was removed from this plan, which was one of the difficult things to do, was predicting future tsunamis based on climate change. That has been specifically removed from this plan, having to produce some type of science around that. So we could, again, move these in parallel and just reference that that's being happening in this plan.
All right.
I have a question.
Please.
Go ahead.
Public comment. Come on, public comment.
Okay. So it's just, the question is how long does it take you to develop this mitigation plan?
Yeah, CSS started working on it in December of 2023 when the application was put in for the FEMA disaster for the groin, the damage to the groin. We worked on it for about 6 months. That funding stopped, and at that point in time, we put it away in the hopes that it would be joined into the counties. And we were all under the assumption that the county had taken it on until earlier this year, and we confirmed 2 months ago that the county had not, was not doing it. So it's for that time.
For clarification, the county's hazard mitigation plan ends at the end of this year. Will our plan be developed and put into place by the end of this year?
Yes, under this contract, thank you, sir. Yes.
Do you have a follow-up? Because you mentioned something.
So it's going to be less than 2 months to get the plan.
I give you another chance.
Question. Yeah, there's only a few things that need to get done, but it's all science related.
The $17,500, is that an annual payment or one payment over 5 years?
It's a one-time
payment. One-time fee. And I'm presuming this goes into a pool. Who are the other members of the pool that will supplant any possible tragedy on the harbor, if it's a tsunami or whatever? Who are those other partners? The city engaged in a similar action last Monday's meeting and agreed to join the Golden State Management Risk Management Authority, and they'll be appointing someone there. Is this a similar type of function with the Cal OES grant? Is this comparable to what the city has just done in mitigating some of its possible problems should a disaster? Is this a standalone kind of event? I'd like some clarification on what that $17,000, $500 payment will do and what it will cover, and there's a deductible or anything like that. Thank you.
This plan is not insurance related. It is not, doesn't cover, you know, a disaster by insurance or funding. This is what the harbor's plan is in case of disaster and what kind of, what those costs would be. So, and who would be affected in a disaster so that in a future disaster, you have notated what could happen in the harbor, all of the possible bad things that could happen in the harbor in a disaster, so that when you apply for disaster funds, you can say, look, we told you this could happen. And that's why we're applying for funds to fix it. There is not a true prevention plan or an insurance in this plan.
Yeah, this was your follow-up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So once you complete your mitigation plan, doesn't it have to, and you guys approve of it, doesn't it have to go to the state and get approval for the state? It usually takes about a year.
No.
That's all the question.
Yep. No, we are expedited. It's been to the state twice. Okay. They're going to be able to review it in about 2 weeks. It's expedited, and there's only five. They've already reviewed all of it, made their comments. We've submitted it again with those comments. They just came back again with comments, and it's basically they'll be able to review it within 2 weeks and finalize it if we submit them back to science around some of the damage numbers. It's going to be a quick process. It's already queued up and teed up, ready to go. Typically, yes, it's a year. It could be a year process or a multi-year process.
All right. Any other public comment or question?
Yeah, online.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say for the record that I find this particularly disturbing because you were invited to participate in the county's plan and you refused, saying that you would take care of it yourself. And I personally brought that to your attention. And now you want to spend all this money to do it and you don't have the money. That's not reasonable. That's it.
Mike, would you like to respond to that?
I'm not sure who made that comment, but that's not what occurred. And Cal OES has made this money available to the Harbor District to be able to do this. So it's not coming out of Harbor District funds. It's coming out of Cal OES funds.
Okay, thank you. Somebody else? All right.
Call the question.
Let's do the roll call.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Nina?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepard?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. The ayes have it. Point four, review and discuss Merit PITB grant contracts.
Memo is in front of you. We talked about this at the last meeting to bring the Merit contracts kind of for your review. Very few things in them that the Harbor District can change. Basically, you could change dates, which we've done multiple times in this. These are the most recent ones. We could talk a little bit about the narration that can be changed, but basically these contracts are put together by Merit for the grants and then given to the Harbor District. We met with Merit on Monday, so we do have some updates. Because of the shutdown, attorneys were furloughed. So the NEPA document that was submitted and has been signed off by the environmental staff at Merit is with the attorneys, but there is nobody there to review it. We asked, well, what do you think once it ends? How long do you think that could take? And they said, well, we've got projects under construction that need to have attorney review. So this one hasn't started yet. So it could be, we should be thinking 2 to 3 months that it could take them to get our documents reviewed. They have to approve it, issue an approval before these contracts can be signed. There could be an expectation of these contracts getting changed again. They've been changed as new executive orders are issued around various things. Items have been removed from the contracts. So you have before you the two contracts, and following the first contract, you have the extension that was just issued by MERED that allows for the 2022 not to have to start construction until 2026. So Merit felt comfortable again on Monday that that will be met. And we still have our entire Merit staff that started this project, though they've been shuffled around in different positions. They're all still with this project. So we do feel pleased with that. So really, these are them for your review. Open to any questions. There's a lot kind of in these contracts. So the other part is you can live with them for a while because it's probably 30 to 60 days, maybe 90 days before they'll need to come to you in a finalized version for your adoption.
All right. Any questions you have succinct?
Yeah, Mr. Barr, in your cover letter, you say that no action is required at this time. Yet, if you dig in deeper, you say that, or Morehead states that if we fail to follow the agreed upon timeline to get the grant extended, Morehead may cancel this award. So it sounds like we've got, you know, a shotgun pointed at us that we can't ignore.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear where that cancellation came from.
That would be on the page before 1 of 17, last paragraph. The whole paragraph reads, please reply to this email, either confirming the above milestone deadlines are acceptable or proposing other reasonable alternatives by close of business October 22nd, recently, 2025. If you are unable to follow the agreed upon timeline to get the grant extension by March 21st, Merit may cancel this award.
Yeah, we've already done that. That's already been done.
Okay, so we've done what they want us to do.
Yes. Yes. Very well. Yes. And we confirmed on Monday that they had everything that they needed from the district at this point in time to keep moving forward.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes. No, thank you for pointing that out.
My other comment is I was really happy to see that we're still on a May 1st, 2026 start of the seawall construction and also with the Citizens Dock. But that hasn't been moved yet again. Keeping an eye on that.
Yep.
My question is, thank you for providing the document. My understanding is Gavin handles a lot of the grant writing, the reimbursements, and with him leaving, is the new staff going to be able to continue keeping up, or is CSS going to take back over some of that processing? And the second question with that is, are we now actually tracking grants separately in QuickBooks efficiently now?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was going to kind of talk about this in my CEO report, but Matt has been cross-training with Gavin to get up to speed on what Gavin's been doing. And so I think we'll have as seamless of a transition as we can, resulting in some good overlap. Gavin, of course, irreplaceable, but Matt is very talented as well. So I think we'll be okay.
All right. John?
One of the things that I was reviewing on it, Mr. Barr's Schedule H, it's like page 14 to 17, where it talks about labor and work. Is there any way to strengthen the verbiage with this grant where we look at hiring more local? Because I think this is a great opportunity to promote some good paying jobs in our community.
Yes, 100%. So in the grant itself, in our grant narrative, we had multiple union partnerships in that grant narrative. We've talked to multiple unions about doing a pre-apprentice program on site because there isn't an apprentice program here or a pre-apprentice program. And then the local hire, which is one of the things, right, that they keep that has been cut out at the federal level. We definitely want to have local hire here. So you'll have to, as you put it out to RFP, put into the RFP what you want that local hire number to be, 15, 20%, and then see if they can meet it. They may or may not be able to meet that. That's the number we put into the grant narrative that we would like to see.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Burrow.
All right. Any public comment on that? Seeing none, we're moving on to number five, review and discuss report from TCA Architect summarizing community engagement from the 2025 Master Planning Charrette and other community feedback.
Yeah, so this is just kind of a continuation of our strategy of some of these really in-depth agenda items. I'm going to bring them back to the board a couple times. And so the last meeting, it was this report, an earlier draft was released pretty close to before the meeting commenced. And so we wanted the board to have some more time to consider this and provide some feedback. We think this is going to be distributed really widely. So we want to be as professional as possible. And there's still a few errors I noticed myself. I'm working with them to correct it. But if the board has any feedback or the public, we can integrate those into this plan and make sure that something we can all be proud of.
Any questions? So you're still going through and making all the necessary corrections so yeah. It don't look like.
Yeah, it'll probably come back a third time as a final version. So if anybody.
Yeah, because I don't really see, I see the same thing in here. Every time I don't see any of the things that are actually being picked out to where we have a decision to make as to. They're so broad. Everything is so broad. Yeah.
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 Do you want some, are you suggesting we have some more like concrete milestones in there for?
When are these expected to start happening?
Okay.
I see they're short term, long term, but when is the progress going to start being made to do certain things that are on all those maps?
Okay.
Is there a projected time? I guess I read it in there. I guess one's a 5-year, the other one's a 10-year. So that's kind of the time frame we're looking at is transitioning into this harbor.
Yeah, I mean, it's subject to capital investment from outside investors in a too large degree. So I think, you know, with the RFP process we have going on now, that's really accelerating the development. Obviously, we have interest in the RV parks. And the vote RFP is out there. So we're soliciting, you know, through all the channels that we can, you know, conceive of, like including Creed, which is, you know, a specialist in obtaining commercial development. Steve Hoff has a new company working with him, going through the Harbor Master Association, you know, commercial real estate. So, you know, we're making steady progress. Step by step.
So is this report kind of just number one, it fulfills the grant requirement, number one, right? Public has to be involved. Number two, it should inform us when we make decisions what the public wants, right? And hopefully at some point, if you can, have some dates in there or there's some time frames, that would be great. But I don't think that this was meant to be there because it's not that specific. Mike, I see your hand up.
Yeah, so that's the step that you're at now. So in this contract, the next piece for TCA is to create renderings, drawings of the primary development areas of the harbor in order to help market those areas, right? So you now have a lot of input from the community. What do you want to do with that? Do you want to see those type of things along Starfish, developed on Starfish, so TCA then creates renderings that includes those type of businesses along Starfish? Or do you want to take those public comments and work in yours and instead focus on 101 and create renderings of the 101 properties? That's the next thing for you to decide is that, and then say, make this the focus for the next year of where we're developing and let's do the renderings of that. So renderings would come back to you in December based on your input at this meeting or the next meeting. And of course, the visioning document from the city that has, you know, the wave and the crest and all of those various images they're creating that could be incorporated down 101 and into the harbor. So that's really your next step so that TCA can move to their next step, which is renderings.
I have a comment off of this. So my concern and what I'm hearing is, and what I'm seeing is that the harbor is at a standstill and is not leasing out any of these buildings, waiting for this to happen and waiting for developers. We have an RFP out. No one's responded to it yet. Yet this summer I presented that there were two different people interested in the sheriff's building. Nothing happened with rent there. There were people interested in renting the units at Spotty's Car Wash. We're not renting them. And so we're not generating revenue to wait for a potential developer. So we're broke, sitting on assets. I think the harbor needs to rent these assets today or tomorrow to people interested in them. And if developers come up, then maybe the lease is short term, but right now we're not generating revenue based on a pipe train.
Yeah, so, okay, with regard to the sheriff's building, we've had numerous people make inquiries. Like, for example, there was a guy who wanted to do commercial trucking training out of the building. So he wanted to use the road basin to have, you know, tractor trailers. He wanted to use the office space there. And he wasn't able to get loans, you know, for his business plan. For Spidey's Car Wash, we've had, you know, probably half a dozen people contact me over the past, you know, few months. And when they found out that there was a $200,000 water recycling system that was required, you know, they backed out. So there is interest, and we're trying to negotiate, and we're trying to put these people going in the right direction, get them connected with SPDC or whatever, you know, agencies can help them, you know, secure funding, help them with their business plan. But it's just, you know, these facilities are not in great shape, so they do require a lot of investment. And, you know, it's a process we have to go through. And that, as I mentioned, there's a lot of different avenues that we are reaching out to. You know, Mike Barr has been instrumental in facilitating that. So is Savop and Creed. But that's why we're using some of this grant funding to help get us connected to people that could develop this. And this vision plan, you know, guides the board. I think this is what the community wants to see happen.
Yeah.
PRV parks and these other parks.
Yeah, Mike, if I could just, I mean, I was trying to find my hand to raise, and sorry about that, I couldn't find it, but I just wanted to chime in. So we would put all the information out there, and we kind of narrowed it down to some of the information we thought was a little bit more important than others that could also create more of an economic balance within the harbor. But we were also waiting for the RFP process to kind of get to a certain stage so we could hear about those ideas as well. The TCA design staff, we all have an idea of how we would like to develop this, but we'd like you to give your feedback on what you think would be most appropriate for this based upon all the comments that were presented in that overall report. And then there is that kind of section where it has the different timelines and what you would like to see within those timelines. And that will also help for us to develop out that plan for the ultimate vision, because we want to get started on this right away. And I think that this ultimate vision is also going to drive more people here, because they're going to be able to see, you know, the pretty pictures and the exciting ideas that are going to be coming through. So that ultimate master plan, the circulation, the renderings. But we just have a little bit of homework to go ahead and get to that point. And it may be a suggestion that we take all this information and we sit down for an hour or two with the board and also with a couple of us that for the design staff to talk about, you know, what we would like to see out of all these different comments and what would be best economically for the harbor to kind of vet out those ideas. That's just one suggestion.
Workshop.
A workshop, yeah.
Okay.
Could you then arrange something?
Sure.
Special meeting, workshop. All right. Thank you. All right. Public comment?
Mm-hmm. Just really quickly, so you say that there's interest in some of the harbor properties to do different things, but it's not as straightforward as one would like to believe.
Yeah.
So people can come with different ideas to utilize some of your properties, but just flat don't fit, or they're economically unfeasible for the business that's proposed there. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
So far. Well, it sounds like until it starts taking off and investors see what's going on here, then that could change.
You know, and I don't see a problem with, you know, accepting RFPs on the various properties that we have in the harbor, and including them in this vision plan and building them into it. So that's always an option too. So we don't have to hold off on RFPs. But when we, you know, if we do come across one that's going to fit and it's viable and we can get over those hurdles, that, you know, we work with these entities to kind of, like I said, build them into this plan and make them a part of the harbor community.
I would suggest that when you have an RFP, you reference that particular plan to take a look at it,
mm-hmm.
and see how some of those things can be integrated in the ideas that they are presenting to us.
Again, will an RFP then be published for the old Avalone building? My understanding, again, was that the university had interest. We also talked about aquaculture, but no RFP has been published.
Yeah, so with that one, I think there's a permitting issue, right, Mike? With the Avalone building. We did have a guy who came up from Eureka. He's done some aquaculture, and he really seemed to like it. I mean, the pump station was there. It seemed like it was a good fit for him. But I guess some of his investment partners were wanting to do whatever the river is down by Arcata, Mad River. They were going to use that. That was one of their alternative options. And I thought that was going to, pan out, but they didn't. They decided against that location. But yeah, I think, Mike, you have some info on
that. Yeah, there are multiple permit issues. That's why we've built it into the RII grant so that we could permit that area and permit the dock area of water area behind the Coast Guard station, but re-permit the inflow and outflow of that building. It is not permitted at this point in time. It does have to go through permitting.
But that permitting process should be, I don't say easy, but easier because it's been used for that. So it's kind of like part of our land use plan.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wanted to do aquaculture, then they could probably step in. That's what we were hoping is
that the university wanted to do.
I mean, I'm not sure exactly. I thought they wanted to use inside the facility for like storage tanks, fish. You know, now they raise fish and study fish. But again, then why wasn't there an RFP if we've done it for everything else?
So that came up before we kind of started the RFP process. But I mean, it's definitely on our list of RFPs. And we just finished the one for the boatyard, and we have sort of like an overall one that we're doing. But
that was excluded on that. It wasn't it included then?
Well, again, I think it's because of the permitting issue. But I mean, it's on the radar.
But maybe an RFP should go out for entertaining aquaculture.
Yeah.
I think it'd be worth, I've been up to the Port Orford one when we talked about doing it in the harbor of 6-7 years ago. And it might be worth, I actually reached out to him, and I got some emails back and forth with him, and I'm going to see if they'd be interested in moving a facility down here.
Okay, good. All right, I think we have concluded that. Number 6, consent calendar, A, approved meeting minutes of the 10/08/25 special meeting and the 10/08 regular meeting. I'm entertaining a motion to approve it.
I move to accept the consent calendar as posted.
I didn't find a problem with it. I'll second it.
All right.
I had emailed Gavin as the clerk of the board earlier today asking that if the minutes from the budget workshop could actually reflect the budget workshop numbers and not general numbers. The general numbers are in the, and it's exactly what Sandy stated, but they're general. When we did a budget workshop, but numbers are pretty specific, aren't they?
I have those numbers available here. $373,039. And then the other one, it was cash on hand, was $300,400.
Would you agree to an amendment of those numbers and then that would be fine for you?
The June balance was $368,439.
Yeah.
And the 340 was $348,39.
I'll amend my original motion to reflect the, on the October 8, 2025 agenda item 2 to reflect the actual numbers from the budget workshop.
Thank you.
A little
bit.
Second. All right. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Chair Webber?
Aye. Well, that went like planned. Okay, good. Number seven.
Mr. Chairman, public comment. I think we need to have a public comment before the votes are...
Approve of minutes. Okay, well, let's just...
So I just have one question. If you guys are going to approve of the way you did it, when will we, the public, see the changes of that?
The document that you guys just approved is already up on the website, is it not?
So the changes will be made and posted on the website, correct?
I think that they're already, my understanding is this, he posted this what, this morning?
Oh, the budget?
Yeah.
No, that was over the weekend. I think she's talking about the
minutes. It's the minutes.
Numbers in the minute.
I wanted to see the actual budget.
No, I'm talking about, you just stated.
Yeah.
37309 and 304,000 cash on hand. But that's not what the
I guess she's asking when the numbers will be changed and added into the
but when will the revised minutes? I don't know.
Revised the minutes.
I thought you meant the budget.
I'm going to amend the minutes and post them on the web.
How long does that take?
Crazy
one. Like tomorrow or the next day?
Tomorrow, usually when the recording is posted.
Thank you. Public comment.
There's not yet a minutes section
on still something
the website.
Plan to get done before I be.
Okay.
Just get all the minutes that I currently process myself. Get this posted.
Okay. What kind of timeline are you looking at?
It shouldn't take more than maybe 1 or 2 days.
Okay.
I'd like to get it done by the end of this week. So next week, I can focus on training and stuff.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Somebody else. Someone a public comment? Seeing none, hearing none. Let's move on to number seven, communication reports and directions to staff. A, harbor commissioners and committee reports. Let's get down. Let's talk about what we have done the last 2 weeks.
Well, I think we heard from Ms. Neymer and others about the Harvey RFP. Don't need to go further into that. We did a good job covering those points and taking action. I did have a formal tour. Mr. Rademacher joining us to Doc Ballard and the others, and giving an informal tour of the Fashion Blacksmiths building. I encountered members of the Wild Rivers Film Commission, very excited about using the building as a cooperative resource for the various independent film producers that they work with, about having them as like a sound state. It was a very positive, energized session, and I think they came away with some good feelings about the building. Okay, want to announce that Linda Sutter will be joining the Triplicate staff as a Harvard correspondent. Appreciate you for helping with that, and you're already done some good work. We're now in our fifth week of publication. I think some of your stuff is in there this week.
Okay.
And finally, I'm glad that Roger had a good sense to...
Can you invoke my name, please? Just see what you have.
Well, talking about matter in the PSK.
No. What you have done. Let's just keep it down.
Keep it down?
But what you've done.
What you have done, baby.
Well, I responded to the recall petition.
Yeah, thank you.
And then it was withdrawn. So that's happened. But I suspect that history will repeat itself. We'll have to deal with this thing probably for the next year. And finally, on the harbor properties, I think we're getting the cart before the horse. Last meeting, we issued an RFP and hired a... No, Roger, you're bored. But the hire.
Cannot invoke my name, sir. Yeah, I guess you can do this and invoke my name if you tell him not to. He's not going to make snarky comments about my whether I'm bored or not.
Point of order.
Yeah, let's just
stick to the content. Good
grief.
Well, we need to hire a surveyor, a licensed surveyor, so we can identify the property corners and the property boundaries before we start offering those properties to potential lessees and tenants. It's my understanding that some of the buildings are built actually over the property in some cases. So there's going to be a lot of work done necessary to complete lot line adjustments, other issues before we can actually get those buildings leased. Finally, in that regard, let's hire a commercial real estate broker. Let's put some signs up down the streets for lease, contact X realtor for leasing this property. This property for lease, this property for sale, whatever it may be. Let's put also signs on the properties. Get some feedback that way. So all the people that drive through the harbor can see what's available. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan already mentioned we met the ad hoc committee. We've now finished our work at the fact committee. I have spoke with members of the public about the hoist situation. Again, the staff is working on that. It came to my attention that Mr. Barr mentioned Cal OES and us working on getting the $1 million. However, it's my understanding that in September, the harbor was awarded $1 million as an amendment to the budget. SB 105, section 30. So it's through the county. My understanding is those monies will be available early 2026, but the harbor district through the county was awarded $1 million for harbor maintenance to include damage to the docks related to the tsunami. Also, at the last meeting, I discussed financial classes and how we need financial oversight, I believe, January 1, it'll be mandated that we have 2 hours. CSDA does offer one of those classes, so I took some of those financial oversight classes. They're 2 hours worth there. It shows that we are back on the right track for financials, but that those classes recommend we have a 5-year cash flow plan or a cash management plan, as well as a capital project fund or plan, and that was not mentioned in the budget, so that's something we need to start looking at as well. And finally, I also answered the recall, which was pulled back, wasting a bunch of time. Yes, thank you.
I spent the most weeks researching Alicia's paperwork and going back with her and coming to a private conclusion, and then PlayStation. I've been in many meetings about that. I'm not going to drop the ball until that gets completed. Dealing a lot of questions about the triplicate and the tabloid type material that's in there, and hoping that in the future that these articles can be more productive towards the harbor, and if they continue to just create all this problems and tensions in the community with your writings, that maybe you might need to be censored.
Back to flat feet.
Point of order.
No.
So I was fortunate enough to be able to sit down and have dinner with Assemblyman Gallagher. He's the Assemblyman for District 3 in the Northern Sacramento region, and we were discussing some areas of mutual concern. He doesn't have a port or ocean access, but I think there was a lot of areas that were of concern. I also was going over material that Alicia provided and some of the studies, and I think there's a lot of conflicting information and a lot of conflicting studies that can be pulled from those. And that's about it.
Right. Yeah, I've been also busy with the letter about our lily growers. I've talked to various supervisors, city councilmen, and
anybody who wanted to listen to me, and I needed to get more information because I thought this whole thing is rather an old issue, and it has been dealt with and it has been fixed. And obviously, as you continue testing, new things will come up. And so it took me a while to get to a level where I could make a decision to endorse the letter or not.
Okay, so I've been working with the Army Corps to get some emergency dredging done. The response to the tsunami. We're also looking to reallocate some of the money that was left over from the dredging that was done back in November. There's a little over $1 million, and the Army Corps is looking at reallocating that to reinforce Anchor Way. So that discussion is ongoing and making some progress there. Feeling good about that. And then to respond to Commissioner Schmidt about the surveying, we did meet with three different companies that are responding to our RFP for land surveying, and some really qualified people. I think we got a good response. So we expect to bring that to the board perhaps the next meeting. And, you know, we can get that survey work done. I agree, it's very important. It's really a prerequisite to have, you know, for these leases that are coming up. So that's definitely on our radar. We're making progress on that. Also had a meeting with the Coast Guard about the divestiture of the Coast Guard building, and they asked us to write up. I mean, first they wanted us to propose a dollar figure to purchase the building, and I explained to them our financial situation and that we really didn't have the means to do that. So I wrote up a short report for them, gave them our budget, and it looks like they're going to transfer the building to us at no cost. So the ball's in their court, but that just happened last week. And then I sent them an email this week. So I think that'll probably happen pretty quickly, I would imagine. Also, I spoke with a gentleman from Eureka who's really interested in leasing that area. It used to be the fish market, Crescent Seafood. He's got a lot of experience in that area. He's got a bunch of commercial equipment. They could potentially move in there. And like Mike Barr was talking about, our RII grant, the Regional Investment Initiative, is going to target those types of developments. And so it'll tie into our fillet station. He can take some product from there, sell it to the public at this building over here. So I think that's going to be a really exciting development. Obviously, that's sort of been taken over by the Family Resource Center that now Josh Mims was kind of spearheading the project. Now FRC is moving that forward. Also, to follow up on what Commissioner Shepard mentioned about notifications to the public for fresh fish, I've been working with a company called Bluestone Media. And they have an app. It's called Local Catch, and it notifies people in the community when boats come in, and it's a free app. So we're hoping that that'll be made available. I work with commercial fishermen to kind of get that messaging out. I know some of the other harbors like Monterey has a similar system where it, like a text message goes out when there's fresh fish available. So that would be, I think, a good development for the community and for the commercial fishermen. And that's all I've got.
All right. Any public comment?
Mr. Chairman.
What you just heard? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, before we proceed, I have a request from the board.
Yes.
I'm really interested in May of 2026 when we move in to starting to the construction of the seawall and the pier and how that affects local jobs. At this time, I'd like to request consent from the board to reach out to some local entities and otherwise with maybe some emails about what that looks like and see if there's opportunities locally here for job growth. Just merely asking out center of the board if that would be all right to pursue that.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think a lot of them are aware of it coming up and the bigger construction companies that would probably participate in that. And we should reach out to them for sure. Let them know that those jobs will be available.
Okay. I think just getting ahead of it instead of waiting.
Well, I like say, God willing, and the creeks don't rise. We start May 1st, but you know, we were told that last May. So,
but Mr. Schmidt, Commissioner Schmidt, do you have any objection to that?
Absolutely not. In fact, one of the first initiatives I prepared in paper was that we would run free help on that place. So we'd be happy to do that for any and all jobs that are available here at the Harbor.
Any objection, Commissioner Niemer? This time, thank you.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you. And I'll update the board at the next general, the next meeting on anything that I've pursued, and definitely keep the board apprised of that. Thank you.
Well, there was one thing I forgot to mention. At the last meeting, the board asked me to submit an insurance application to USI, and we just got that in this morning. It took a lot of many hours. I mean, that was Sandy. How many hours did you spend on that? Probably
6 hours
on that. Plus, we had Bill working on it. Of course, I worked on it. So it was. There's a lot of information that had to go into that. A lot of supporting documents, but that is submitted. So hopefully, we'll get some.
Or what is that?
What's it?
What was that for?
To get another quote, hopefully to get some potentially a lower rate, and then perhaps some tsunami coverage. I mean, I think Commissioner Niemer indicated that they might have some tsunami coverage available. So that you sent that to Heather Rackenbolt. Yeah, she I think
is it Rackenbolt?
Or yeah.
Okay. 2 points. Mr. Rademacher, do you have an update for us on revenue generating RV park renovators? Sean and Scott, what's the status on that to bring immediate income into the harbor? You can answer that after this. And Ms. Niemer, waste of time? Is that what you said? Waste of time? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Did you say waste of time, Mrs. Recall?
You wasted my time.
You wasted your time? That's very funny. You wasted your time. I actually considered the impact on your harbor of $130,000 and pulled it back for that very reason after having discussions with you, Chairman, and other members would say, Roger, this is going to be a hardship for us to do this. And I looked for the right window in which to resume this. Sorry, we're wasting your time. It is your harbor or you're part of it. So the costs will be, which the harbor will have to absorb, will be between $9,000 and $13,000. And apparently you didn't hear that first time I said that. So whether you think it's a waste of time, you are you're responsible. Okay. Responding to this person. And I don't consider it a waste of time. And I'm going to pursue it next year and do that within the window. Thank you very much.
I will respond to that because at that dais, it was shouted at about the clerk and the triplicate being liars for that quote, and now it's accurate. So again, thank you for not listening to the recorder's office and then calling the recall for the same thing.
So that's how it happened.
Would you mind if he responds to the first? You can't because of the closed session.
Yeah, we just met in closed session, but we are moving forward with that. I think the public will be really excited to see the developments. We'll probably have a public announcement at some point soon. We're really gratified to see the interest in the development and the money that's going to be put in there and the ideas. Stay tuned.
Great. I didn't know we were going to have a question and answer kind of thing, and I don't want to get started on that. I just did have on what Mr. Schmidt said about the surveying, and I think it was mentioned by a harbor master also. And I'm curious, is this harbor broke up into several parcels, or is it one parcel? So if it's just one parcel, and if I can just finish my thought, you decide what property you're going to lease out. Out at the airport, they have ground leases too, and they lease hangars, and people build their own hangars on their own land, and then they just lease the land. And so I'm curious as to why you want to spend money to get a bunch of surveys done when you could just say, you're going to lease from this point to this point, and that's it. And that's your decision, and why you would want to get involved in that, because I don't think you want to break this up into a whole bunch of parcels. and then be restricted to that. That's just a comment.
Excellent comment.
On that. Yeah. I mean, that's just my own thought. If it's all one piece, you decide what they're leasing, and you can write that up however you want. In my opinion, I'm not a lawyer, unlike some people who think they are. I'm not, so you have to get that squared away.
I was kind of curious as to maybe what they were talking about. Is there some public land that's adjacent and in the harbor property? But I'm assuming that, like, the restaurant has those lines already drawn, and I don't know that we would need to redraw them, or the monument place and the fisherman's restaurant. I thought that's kind of what he was meaning, because then we have their wash in there, but I would think our markers on those, and then, like, John was commenting, and Jerry, that actually within the harbor, we dictate where the lines are.
Right.
We don't have to have a surveyor tell us, but those lines need to be drawn. But I'm assuming they're already drawn in the, and you know, and
yeah,
with the entities that own them.
But I can address this. So essentially, this came about because the Coastal Commission, so remember when we were leasing out porta pints, and there was some discrepancy, they were trying to get their de minimis waiver from the Coastal Commission, and there was a discrepancy between Starfish Way and where the boundary was for porta pints for that potential leased area, and the Coastal Commission told us, they said, okay, well, you guys have some survey problems here, we're going to go ahead and approve this waiver, but as soon as possible, you need to go back and have a comprehensive survey done in the harbor. And fortunately, we do have grant money to fund the survey work. So it's basically a regulatory issue that they're asking us to do before they approve future development permits. So that was all it is for that.
Okay.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Well,
I didn't know. I didn't know why we need to survey our own property too. John and I.
Well, I understand that you've got private property.
Yes.
And I don't know if the roads held privately by the harbor, or are they county roads, or are they city roads?
Oh, yeah.
It's a combination.
Yeah.
So there should be, I mean, somewhere if you put that in, there has to be an encroachment or permits or something to put it in a certain area. They should.
I can understand it now what he's talking about, because there was a big deal about. With the Coastal Commission and porta pints, that they actually were saying that there was going to be more people using that space, so they had to designate the amount of space than what England Marine did, and I was opposed to that. I thought there was more traffic in and out of the building than England Marine was there than the porta pints, but anyways, that was a land issue and a border issue.
But you can't. You can still designate that unless you're going outside your boundaries, right?
Hey, I just think the Coastal Commission wants to know how far that person owns or something. But it seemed like we could draw their own lines. But
basically, we got a Coastal Commission gun to our head. So that's the deal.
Coastal Commission again.
Okay. Thank you. So let's move on to the financial report. This last item for today.
First thing is the balance sheet. At the last meeting, we spent a lot of time going over the financials, so I won't do too much today. I'll note that the auditor is coming on Monday. There are still a number of items on here where you're still seeing numbers come across. I would take that employee advance one that hasn't been updated. There are several accounts up there on the balance sheet. They'll be fixed, and the auditor will be here next week, and he'll concur, I assume, with what I've done. So we'll see those at the next financial meeting. All of that stuff will be off of there. The two numbers we talked about looking at it, since we don't have cash flow projection reports right now, the two numbers we're looking at is our bank balance, and you can see that it has gone down quite a bit into September. We're at $309,000 in our bank account. And looking at the payables, and our payables went up on the next page. If you look at our accounts payable, it went up to $111,000. So those aren't good numbers, right? We want to keep our bank balance the same or going up, and we want our payables either going down. But we've got some things happening here that we kind of know about, and that we expect to have when we get to our budget to actuals. We know that we're losing money all of these months, but we also know that the property tax money comes in another month in December, that property tax money comes in, and that's what pays for our deficit spending for these next couple of months right here. So I'm not too concerned about the numbers that I'm seeing there. So that's all I have really to say about the balance sheet at this time. If we go over to the P&L, again, we spent a lot of time at that budget workshop going through all of these numbers. I think the big concerns for me are the reduced revenue in the mortgage. That was one of the things that we identified, and we'll talk more about that when we look at the budget stuff. But our mortgage is really down. But the interesting thing, when we go down to our gross profit, that'll actually be more in the budget. I don't think I'll say much more here, other than I've actually now have depreciation in our P&L. So we can't look at that bottom line anymore, because otherwise we're going to see that negative $330,000 every month. Yep. Because that's what we're supposed to be putting into our facilities every month to maintain them. No way that's ever going to happen. And that's kind of common that you never have enough money to take care of your assets, unfortunately. So that's the P&L. The budget, the actuals, the real report we want to keep an eye on. So, again, that's where I come down to. The mortgage was the big thing. I budgeted we'd have $140,000. And by the third quarter, this is our first third quarter review, and these are the final numbers here. We only had $85,000 when we should have had $140,000. So yeah. There's a big loss there. Was some of that due to the tsunami, possibly? Is it due to our price increases and we're not competitive with the other harbors? Is it that we don't have the boatyard here and so those boats are going up to Oregon, as somebody previously said? I think there are a multitude of reasons why that's happening. But the bottom line is, if we go down to the total income section, which is page 2 at the top, we budgeted for total income of $455,000 and we only got in $420,000. So we have a reduction in income for that quarter of $35,000. I'll go ahead and I'll skip down to the, let's go to the payroll section. I want to point something out there. What we've started to do in the payroll section is, in which we did not budget for as a separate line item. It was all up in the, I always think of payroll. We have $760,000 in payroll, but inside of that, we had the commissioners, which is really a stipend. And we also had our payroll processing. And I wanted to be able to break that out so we know how much we're paying for that HR department, because we might be considering bringing that in-house or going to a different organization. And we want to know what those costs are. So when we get to the budget part, I'd like to talk about adding that. We didn't do that in our budget meeting, and I'd like to talk about making some adjustments for that. I think maybe what the good news is if we look at our net operating income, which is at the bottom of page 3, I budgeted for a negative $239,000, and we're only at a negative $83,000. Of course, a lot of that has to do with we didn't pay the loan payment, right? We would be looking at that loan payment. That would be interest only up there that you'd be seeing. So I think that's everything I have to say about the budget. You guys have the cash flow report. You know, I was used to having the cash flow report approved. I think Commissioner Schmidt at a couple meetings ago changed the language to accepting the cash flow report. At some point, you guys have to approve these financials. Do you do it via the cash flow report and approve a cash flow report? Because that approves all money going in and out? Or are you going to approve the financials? But something you guys got to approve and take ownership of, right? I'm presenting it, but you guys got to approve, not accept, but approve what you're seeing in your financials. So I don't know which way you guys want to do it. I don't really care. But one or the other, I would hope that somebody would start making a motion after I go through these financial statements to either accept the financials statements as presented or approve the cash flow as presented. Can we make something like that happen right now, or am I going on to the next item, which I think is the budget?
Okay. Well, the cash flow doesn't include the payments to these companies or
This is your bank balance. It's showing you everything in and out, everything we spent. So I think
it's we're going to make a recommendation to pay these separately.
You're going to make a motion to approve those. Those aren't being paid yet until you guys approve them.
Okay.
We don't pay them.
So on the agenda under agenda item 7, CI, we were to make a motion. It's listed as review and approve financial statements. So I think that'd be appropriate at this time.
There we go. It does say approve. Thank you. I ask that we do that. You prefer to do it on the cash flow?
No, I have questions.
Oh, okay.
The U.S. bank card, is there an invoice or a statement so we can see what's being put on the credit card?
It is there when you guys sign the check. Whoever does sign the check.
Sign the check, and you're asking us to approve this. It's over $5,000. I have no idea what's there. Can it be added like the invoices in this packet?
Absolutely. Most of the things that happen on the U.S. bank card are your standard things that are, and that comes back to having this purchasing policy, which I'd like to get to, that says here's all your standard people. If there was anything on the credit card that wasn't one of your standard expenses, you would have approved that separately as a line item, because typically what gets paid on that credit card is like, say the new book comes in, you have a contract, you guys approved a contract at $2,500. Probably could have been on that. That would have been the August one, right? August, and here we're at November. So that $5,000 bill certainly has the new book on it. So it absolutely, I can make that part of that because I get that that's a consolidation of things.
To me, it's like an extension of this because much of this is Pacific Power, the laundry.
Right.
Marine Central, are you still looking into that? This is the same number that we've been seeing for the last few months.
Yeah, I think you're getting rid of some of those phones, right?
Still working on it.
Still working on it.
Redwood Medical Office?
I think that's, we have to pay for people do what when they get their first job. They got to do their physical.
And George's Auto?
Repair on an auto. What is this? $39.
$37.88.
Oh no, you guys did approve that. That was a couple of months ago.
Tires on the flatbed.
Oh.
Or repair of the flatbed. Repair or tires of the flatbed.
Yeah, we had the discussion about we don't want to be repairing old vehicles, right? So that's when we approved that one.
All right.
I think she's still
one question.
Still.
All right.
Okay. Do you want to stop here at a public comment period or am I moving on?
Do I have a motion to approve it first?
I'll make the motion to approve the financial statements as presented. Yeah, and if we could take the recommendations from Commissioner Niebuhr and integrate those in the future, that'd be great. Thank you, Ms. Plante.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I open it up for a public comment. Go ahead.
So, yeah, thank you for mentioning the bank card statement because I remember once Mr. Patrick had been fired that you guys changed the policy that you could put over $2,000 on a credit card without approval of the board first. Thank you. Anyway, at least attach the credit card statement onto these reports because there's no way of knowing, and I'm not going to let this happen again. Mm-hmm. You guys, there was $75,000 of embezzlement through the credit cards. And you guys forgot already because here we got a $5,000 credit card purchase. And no documentation to show the public what it was on. So that's a big deal. Thank you.
Okay, so just to be clear, that's the $5,000 is the entire statement. It's not a single charge. And the statements, as I understand, you're posting them.
I want to see the statements. That's all that you
said. Excuse me. Finish, please.
Excuse me.
In the financial document section of the website, the credit card statements are posted for everyone in the public to look at them. So, and they're updated. I think your senior Gav, you uploaded the most recent one.
I sent it to you.
Yeah.
I haven't uploaded it yet.
I think it's on. So anyway, Kent.
All right. Any other comment before we go to roll call?
I second the motion. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Go.
Commissioner Schmidt. Commissioner Niemer.
No.
Commissioner Shepherd.
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans.
Aye.
Chair Weber.
Aye. Ayes have it. We're moving on to point II. Approve revised. Budget incorporating proposed adjustments per October 8th, 25th budget review meeting.
Okay, so after we had the budget workshop, we came up with the number of adjustments. I went home, put it into the spreadsheet, brought you guys back the report that showed all the proposals that we did do in it. But we can't approve this because it's not balanced. So there's some things that we're going to need to do to it to make it balanced. The first thing I want to do is look at the payroll section. And we see that we didn't do any adjustments. I'm sorry, we got to go to the bottom of page 3 is where we have our payroll expenditures. And we have $732,000 is in the payroll section. And I want to do 3 things with that. With the commissioner expense, $3,000 a month is what we're doing. So that's $36,000 would need to go down into commissioner expense. And payroll processing right now is running, let's say about $2,500 a month. $2,500 times 12. Is there anybody got a calculator on the phone? Come up with that number real quick. Nope. 25.
What's the numbers?
What do you need, miss?
Say it again.
What do you need?
$2,500 times 12.
$30,000.
Yeah.
$30,000. Okay, and I want to put that number down into payroll processing. So altogether, that is $66,000 that I'm going to take out of that $732,000 just to break it down and put it on a separate line. So that's one adjustment I'm doing to that $732,000 in payroll expense. Now, if we go down to the very bottom there, we have on page 6, we have a net decrease in position of $373,000, and we only had cash on hand of $300,000. So we have to be balanced. So I got to come up with $73,000. I'm just going to use a number $75,000 to be whole. And I'm going to take $75,000 out of your payroll to balance our budget. And what that's going to be is, you guys have heard about the MARAD stuff. That means that his salary is going to be paid for by a grant. So we're going to be able, and we talked about this when we talked about anticipated. What did I say down here at the bottom? We haven't put the wording on here. He's going to be funded by grants. So I'm going to take his money out of there. We're going to use grant money to pay for him. In addition to that, we haven't got to the USDA portion, but we have 2 different things. About the maintenance budget. Maintenance budget runs about $25,000, and actually more if you take all the other things that come into it. The maintenance budget, we can use TOT money if we don't have to make a payment, a full payment to the USDA, and we're able to use that money. We can use that towards maintenance. Some of the money that we might get from some other grant money will also be able to be offset by maintenance costs, which would be our maintenance department. So those are other areas. So if we're not getting it from the grants, we're getting it from these, from the merit grant, then we have these other grants or, I mean, she's talked about it, right?
The appropriations, yeah.
The appropriation money is, so that's not a grant that's being appropriated to us. So that also is offsets maintenance stuff. So we have several different areas to get that money from. So I would be making the recommendation that we take that, what did I say, 75,000 is what I need? Yeah, 75,000 off of that number as well. So that's 141.
I was under the understanding that you can't put any grant money into your budget because it's not predetermined. With the CSDA stuff I was watching, they say you do not put grant money in there.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an issue.
I mean, I made the proposals. The commission could forego. We could take back raises. We could look at the health benefits package, but no one wants to do the hard stuff. We're broke. I mean, I did a rough, very rough, based off these numbers, cash flow, and without grant money, without, we get the tax, and that tax but pays for fashion January, March, so we're broke. January, February, March. And okay. No one wants to address this. You have to make hard decisions.
And if we're able to negotiate that USDA and we only have to pay 10% of a loan payment and we have 200 and, what is that, 26,000? So that still gives us to what, 230? Mm-hmm. We're not able to use that 230 either. And we have a number of different ways to.
Not that, for the language the county has drawn up in their contract.
We're very aware of what that contract is. You guys have all read it. We have a facilities plan. We're trying to determine that it's been approved, where it was approved, but we have a facilities plan, mm-hmm. and that facilities plan addresses our maintenance department. So we haven't gone that far. We haven't gotten all that way, but we feel like we've got balls rolling in a number of different ways. You are broke, absolutely. I'm not saying anything about that. What I'm trying to say is we're budgeting, which is where do we think we're going and where are the different ways that we have money. So we've got USDA money, we've got appropriations money, which is not grant money. So there's another way we can look at it.
I mean, the reality is we're not going broke because we have these merit, we have, you know, over $15 million of grants for maritime, you know, to improve Susan Stock and a seawall. That's going to fund all of my, you know, a majority of the work I'm going to do, plus all the tsunami recovery is going to be funded. That's going to be paying for a lot of my payroll. It's going to be paying for maintenance work. So, I mean, it looks bad on the budget, but because of these other projects that we're working on, that's going to fund payroll, we're going to be okay. I mean, that's the reality. We're not going to be broke in a couple months. And with the RV park development and the other RFPs, we have at least a couple of years of breathing room to implement this development I'm doing.
I'm not sure where you see these numbers coming in. There's a pause, a window where we don't have funds in early 2026 if these grants are delayed or don't start till March, and then you have to get reimbursement. We don't even have the funds to put out the money.
Yep.
We'll see that later in this invoice. So in addition to the issue with the budget, we should also be discussing a line of credit, or, you know, the airport just got something with the county that is something that should be discussed as well, because there's no way to even do these projects now.
It's interesting you put it that way, because if you think about it, if we only had to pay the 10% on the USDA loan, we're going to get a better interest rate on that than we would if we went outside and tried to get a gap loan somewhere, umbrella or whatever you want to call it. If we tried to get any of those other ones, we'd pay a higher rate than what we're going to get if we can get USDA to work with us. So maybe we should continue to pursue that. And USDA is going to be on our list. We're going to talk about that in a moment. So that might be, you know, something that we're able to work out. And that's kind of what we've talked about doing, the other gap loans and stuff like that. But we're going to push in for, and we're going to have that answer here within 30 days. Probably, right? Assuming the furlough gets lifted, right? Because
Well, I'll come to that.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
we're discussing things, but without the whole picture, it's hard to make this picture work.
And not only that, remember this, we, because of where we're at in our cash flow issues, we must every quarter look at our budget. I think some people only do the budget maybe first quarter and right before the end of the year, where they do budget reclass and reviews and stuff like that. But we definitely are going to be doing a budget review every quarter. So when it comes time to do the January thing, we will have already addressed what we know is coming and have hopefully have answers for that. But this is aspirational, and I think that there are different things that we know that are coming to fruition, and that's what we were saying back in the other budget.
Wow.
So, let me point out one other thing. If you look at the, if you look at page 6, and you look under the things where it says total capital expenditures, there is a capital improvement plan or project in there where I do put it on there and I say zero. And when I first talked about the budget back in June, I brought to everybody's attention, we should be setting up money for asset purchases. We should be setting up money for emergency reserves. We should be setting up money for capital improvement projects. Those are the three areas that you talk about that when you take that class, it talks about making sure you have funding for those three areas. And I have put them on there. Unfortunately, we don't have any money to put into those categories, other than the $5,000 we talked about for getting new computers since Windows 11 came out, and we need to replace all of our old computers.
Well, not all of them, but
three of them. Three of them, right?
Yeah.
But again, with that line item, I went home and did a recertify with Windows 10, and there is a program or software you can buy to cover down for the next 3 years. So instead of spending $5,000, should we look into this software to spend? Well, we don't have $5,000.
I would say it isn't really all about Windows 11. I'd be saying about these machines are really old.
My machine is also really old. I'm just saying if we don't have $5,000 and there's a software that covers that 3 year gap, this is what I did research on my own computer. Right. Is that an option to buffer when we don't have money?
So I did talk to ICS specifically about that option, and we're going to be using it for some of the computers are a little bit more, you know, recent, but, you know, trying to do the engineering work on an ARRI grant, I mean, we need to have a computer that has a dedicated GPU, you know, to handle AutoCAD files, those types of things. So that's what we'll need, you know, and we're going to be signing the contract with NARAD probably within the next 30 days. So I think that we are entering into the time period when that grant's going to be funding payroll. I mean, that's realistic. This is not a pie in the sky thing like the environmental compliance is done. That was really the big holdup. So,
and to be clear, when I say I'm going to be reducing payroll by $75,000,
shifting.
No, I'm actually reducing payroll by $75,000. We're not actually instituting the changes in the next 90 days, but we're going to take $75,000 away from payroll. We think we're going to get it back, because it is going to get paid for, but it's we're not taking adjusting payroll off the table. We're saying we're not going to be spending $75,000 in payroll this budget year, and we'll have to make those changes in the last 6 months of the year if the things we're thinking don't happen. So we're not taking off the table having to do drastic changes to our payroll.
So you're saying you're cutting the pay in half currently, or in 3 months they're not getting paid at all?
What I'm saying is we're going to have to find $75,000 in payroll savings when we review this budget again in January. Because if the things haven't happened, if Merit, if we don't know what's going on there, if USDA hasn't kicked in, the appropriation monies hasn't kicked in, if we didn't pull money from our TOT, if any of those things didn't happen, then we've said in our budget, we're cutting payroll, not shifting. We're cutting payroll. That will be a discussion on the table in January, and we'll be able to cut $75,000 in 6 months, if that's what we were to go down to. But again, I think our premise is we value our employees.
We hear your premise, but we just added $33,000 to the deficit in the first quarter, which is why we're having this discussion, because we don't have the funds. We didn't have the funds when we approved the original budget. We used up every last penny of the reserve, which also isn't acceptable practice.
You're heading towards insolvency.
Yes.
These are the things that you do.
Which is again, stopping raises, not waiting until we're broke, but we're there.
We're not doing any more raises. All those raises happened pretty much last year. Yep, and nobody knows. Nothing else is happening there.
I mean, the bottom line is we have at least three different ways to solve the budget deficit. MARAD, the CNFL fund, and then the revenue generation from RFPs. So we only have to do one of those three things.
And the loan.
Yeah, that's right. USDA loan as well. So that's four things. We have four mechanisms that we're implementing. The reality is we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. One of those four things, if not all of them, will come to fruition.
Makes sense.
Doesn't.
Oh my God.
Last 10 years.
Quarter, quarter.
Been dead.
No.
Just.
All right.
So,
what do you need?
What I need then is a motion to do proposed adjustments to a positive 32,200. Zero, zero. That would be an 8, and that would be a 4. And that would be a 4. We're going to increase our position by 42,800 based on the three adjustments that I talked about.
Can you go over those again, Ms. Moreno?
Mm-hmm. Shall I just spell them out?
Yeah, if we can go
on. Okay.
Again, please.
So, okay. Account 5001 payroll expenses is being reduced by 141,000. Commissioner expense is being reclassed to 36,000.
What line item is that?
That's going to be 5006.
And you want to reclass that to what?
That's 36,000. That's coming from that payroll number. That 141,000 that we talked about earlier has three numbers involved in it. 75,000 of a reduction in payroll costs, 36,000 as a reclass to commissioner expense, and the $30,000 reclass to payroll processing account 5015. That's a net adjustment, a positive increase in position of 42,800. Because 32,000, when we did the workshop, the net effect of all the changes we made in the workshop was an additional decrease in our position of 32,200. So, really, we're reducing payroll by 75,000, and we had already previously, through the workshop, agreed in increasing expenses to 32,200.
Is there a plan to bring back the ordinances fee schedule to at least do a CPI adjustment on this?
Yes, we have been talking about that. You know, when I was sitting in the audience before, and you guys were doing your rate increases a couple years ago, I had asked that it be brought before the board to where we had, here's what Humboldt charges and here's what Brookings charges and here's what we charges. So we really need a report like that because we need to identify, are we losing marina income much because our prices are out of line and can we do some kind of increase or have we already priced ourselves out of the market? So we are working on that at this time.
We've asked for months. We did the ordinance workshop months ago. It was supposed to come back months ago. Here we are discussing budget. We haven't addressed it. Can we please get it on the agenda?
Look, I just want to say something because, you know, Sandy and I have been working night and day. Last night, we were both up between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. I would say twice in every pay period, I pulled all-nighter trying to get stuff done. We are working like dogs. And I understand there's certain things that don't get done, but you guys are getting an incredible value from Sandy and I, and the work that's being done here, turning us harbor around, how much have we cut from payroll over the past year? Almost 40%. So we have made drastic cuts. We've consolidated positions. And yes, the staff has taken on a ton of additional responsibilities, not just myself, but Christina, Gavin, the front office staff, You know, maintenance has been consolidated. So please just keep that into consideration when everything from your list doesn't get done. I know it's frustrating.
Okay, can you please put the ordinance fee on the next agenda?
Sure. I mean, add it to the list.
Yeah, I just want to say ditto because you lose people when you attack them all the time and all the time and all the time. Mm. It's not fun coming here to work when I'm working so hard and I can't get through my list. I am as frustrated as you are because I start the week with, these are all the things I'm going to get done. And things get put on the top of my pile and I never get to that ordinance thing. I can appreciate what you're saying. And yes, we can put it on there, but we also have to have time to put the stuff together to support the agenda item. And that's really where the time consuming comes in. I'll come to that in another minute because that will be an issue. I know I'm going to be saying that again shortly here. So that's what I have. Is it public? Probably you need public comment.
Yeah.
First off, you guys are taking financial advice from Mr. Rademacher and Ms. Moreno. Ms. Rademacher's had a past bankruptcy, and she had a lien against her from the IRS. So that doesn't sound good. She's cooking the books right in the public. Wait. No, this I get to say whatever I want to say regarding to this.
Just prove it. You can't defend people here.
What?
You can't defend people here.
I'm not defending anybody. I'm not defending anyone. Okay. I'm telling you the facts, okay? This document, if you think you're going to get to pay $30,000 to USDA for a year and then take that money and use it for something else, think again. That's not going to happen. All right. The fact that you guys aren't paying attention to what's going on here is ludicrous. My God, you're broke, but yet you still want that $600 a month in your pocketbooks. Take that away. That's $36,000. No, that's more than, that's $42,000 a year. Mr. Rademacher getting paid with MARAD money? I don't think so. That's not going to happen. Not on my watch. You have a nice day.
If I may, I'd like clarification on what she said about the IRS and me. I may have been the thing. I'd like to. But it's on the public. Well, I guess I can get it from her.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Please make sure I get that.
All right. I think we have a motion, right? I think we have to make a motion. Yeah. Anybody wants to, we don't have to necessarily talk about the specific numbers, but whatever she has suggested. Rick, do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the revised FY25-26 balanced budget incorporating proposed adjustments for October 8th, 2025, by the group meeting.
I'll second.
All right.
Commissioner Schmidt?
No.
Commissioner Niemer?
No.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. Ayes have it 3-2. Next, we have the approved invoice 25-22272 from Kinsey Architects and $9,000.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question on that last vote you just took?
Pardon me?
I just wanted to ask one question on what you just did there when you said it passed. I'm curious, are those considered budget transfers?
No. Actually,
they are.
Yes, they are budget reclass.
Okay, so you're doing budget transfers, I don't know if, what your bylaws say, if you have any. It takes 4/5 vote. So just, I'm just wondering.
Okay.
I am.
We'll look into it.
We'll look into it.
I don't know what that, the Board of Supervisors, if you do a budget.
Okay.
Well,
on with the next
three. I don't have anything to say. You guys need to do the next two.
We'll move along.
Okay, TC Architects.
Oh, we're gonna approve it or not?
Oh, I move to approve. Oh, it's just a little. I apologize. I'm stepping.
Well, I have a. I was a little confused because it says 9,000. This invoice and total now due is 34,500.
Because that includes the invoices that were unpaid at the time they made this invoice.
Oh, we already paid 25.
You're paying the
34.
No, we're only approving, we're only approving the 9,000.
That's what I'm getting at.
Because we paid those other ones. We're not approving invoices that they're saying haven't been paid.
Outstanding invoices. Right. Okay. Right. I'll second the motion.
How long does it take to get reimbursed in the grant money?
45 days, and that reimbursement is going out tomorrow.
All right. Let's go to the roll call. Let's move on.
Commissioner Schmidt?
No.
Commissioner Niemann?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepard?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. Ayes have it, 4-1. Next, approve invoice 83471 from Moffitt at Nickel, 181,755,000.
Where's this money coming from?
Yeah. Again, we're putting it through the grant. You know, it'll be reimbursed in 45 days.
So where's it coming from now?
We're putting it through the grant. I'm told from Mike Barr that we're able to do that.
What I'm asking is, what account is it coming? Where are we paying it?
You asked about that earlier, and I didn't mention that. On the balance sheet, we talked about grants. You had mentioned that Gavin actually was doing the grants, but I'm doing the grant reimbursements right now because I'm trying to get them all to come up here on our balance sheet. And if you look under the fixed asset section on your balance sheet, you can see that we now have the CIP South Beach bathroom, the CIP seawall project, and I will be transferring over the other numbers from the previous years when the auditors here were talking about bringing all of that up. So you guys are going to know exactly how much you've invested in these different projects, how much grant money's already been billed out, and what those costs are. That's what, and there's CIP on the second page as well, where it talks about the citizen's dock and the harbor development and design. These, until we approve these bills, I don't, she left. I didn't think that was entered. I'm sure it isn't, because that's what the date is this. This is a 10/13 invoice date, so it's not showing up in here yet. But they go up on the balance sheet because they don't affect our P&L.
I guess what I'm saying is, in the lake, we reserved 181.5, but we're going to have to use that to pay this.
We're going to wait until we get reimbursed and then pay it.
Waiting until we...
I'm putting in a bill tomorrow that takes all of the money we've up until a couple weeks ago, we were 50 grand. We've been using 50 grand of our cash flow to be paying these grant expenses in advance and then getting reimbursement. And we did that for as of June 30th. They owed us 50 grand, and we got that 50 grand. So that got paid. And now we've got this quarter's, which includes this some of this expense, and it'll be included on that bill that goes out tomorrow. And we assume we'll get paid in 45 days. And then, and when we get that money in, we turn around and we pay the bills.
I see. So we aren't fronting this. We approve this. You submit it to the grants. It comes.
Exactly.
I see. Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is this affected by the government shutdown since this is a federal grant at all?
No, because it's Cal OES.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Excellent.
And Moffitt and Nickel are aware of how we're paying this. So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we can't, if we can't be delinquent or anything, but I mean, there's an understanding with the people we're dealing with on this reconstruction that we're doing it through grant money, and they can be a little bit more lenient on how we plan or something.
Well, we talked before in the last 30 days, I've been mentioning to you that we want to do grant billing more often than quarterly.
Right.
So that we can pay these guys better, because it took us a while to pay the $25,000 to TCA, that 24 that you just saw on the bottom of that invoice, because we had to wait until we got our 50 grand cash flow that we've been using to fund grant stuff. We had to wait until we got that. So as soon as we got it, we turned around and paid the big bills.
But through our approvals today, those grants are going to be able to, we're going to actually have access to them.
Yes.
Right. I'll move to approve the mop and a nickel invoice.
I'll second it.
All right.
Public comment. Public comment.
I think this is one item here separately. Let's go.
Commissioner Schmidt?
No.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. All right, eyes have it. We have now point 5, California Public Records Act, CPRA update.
I actually don't have much of an update. I had told Mike for 2 days here that I would have the policies and procedures written up that basically shows that I'm not doing any of the gathering of the documents. I'm doing the review of the documents. I've been out of the office for a week there, so I've just gotten back, and it was right time for the meeting, get prepping for this meeting. Then you had your special meeting and more document requests. So I had hoped to have my spreadsheet for you and then the policy for you and see if that passes muster, because clearly what we were going to try and do at the last one did not. So we're still trying to put something together there. Tomorrow morning after I do the HMPG grant reimbursement, there will be document drops for several people who have put in requests. So that should bring pretty much everybody up to date with what I do have. I do have records requests still out that I'm waiting for. So I think that we'll see some real headway at the next meeting. And in the next 2 days, those people are waiting for documents. We'll start to see all those things flow out. Perhaps I could put the bond information, because you asked about bond information on that, because that was part of a CEPRA thing. So replying to your commissioner's request for information. Both our insurance agent and myself are at a loss to understand why this is not working, because he responded to me. I sent an email. The clerk of the Board of Supervisors sent me an email and says that their attorney says that this doesn't work. It has to be a commissioner's bond. He suggested I speak to our attorney. I sent an email off to our attorney and to Chris, our insurance agent, and said, our attorney and their attorney are both saying the same thing, but our insurance agent is saying this is the document you use. So we're at a loss to understand what the real document is supposed to be. I reached back out to Mike today to say maybe Ryan hasn't responded because he needs to hear from Mike instead of from me. So that's where I'm at this point. I'm still trying to figure out, but our insurance agent thinks this is the document and that's what we should be saying. I know Ms. Sutter here has told us that she has a copy of an old one, but we don't have any record of that. I have spoken to Alyssa. She doesn't have a bond on file, so I'm not exactly sure who at the county I would be getting that information from. So I guess my next comment was maybe we need to go to Annie's insurance agent, because that agent seems to know maybe what it is about, but I'm waiting to hear back from the attorney. So that's the one questionable Public Records Act thing.
Okay. Offhand, I hate to be on the spot, but like what the next documents are going to be released for CEPR, just so people know what to expect.
Patrol logs, grants. Alicia had a whole list of things, but actually the response to her is most of that stuff is up on the website, or it's not stuff that we're responsible for. Mm-hmm. The fisherman's letter, that wasn't our letter. So I just need to do a response to that.
I know maintenance logs are also on our list of things to get together.
Yes. So
it's a long list. There's a lot of stuff. So we're trying to release it on a regular basis as much as we can.
Okay.
All right. Any public comment on that one?
I discussed the maintenance logs with Bill last week, and if the short staff and anything, they're having, but they're going to they're doing a better job of it.
All right. Thank you. Then let's move on to the last point. Point six: update on plan to address USDA loan payment and insurance requirements.
I'll go first.
Sure.
Then you, okay. So Mike and I have been spending a lot of time in the last couple of weeks trying to formulate this plan. We thought that we were going to need to have the plan at this meeting to meet the 11-1 deadline that they were talking about. We've sent an email off to the USDA. They responded with automatic replies to say that they're furloughed right now, so they're not able to do anything. I guess that one person, and it sounds like he's a head guy, a state director or something like that, did respond to say he's there, but we're waiting for Justin to come back. So it sounds like we've got another couple of weeks to come up with that. I think that we're still of the mind that we want to put the plan together that says we want to make a partial payment. And for these reasons, we'd like to not have to pay the insurance and show you why we shouldn't be paying this insurance at this time. We're hoping to get a response back from that insurance agent to whether they're going to cover us for tsunami, particularly after we had to declare on the application that, yeah, we had the we rebuilt our whole harbor in 2011 for many millions of dollars, 25, 30 million.
50
million, there you go. So none of those documents, by the way, I spent a lot of time trying to find numbers and I couldn't get any of our documents to really come up with that. What I do know is that the auditor says, I think 65,000, but he doesn't know where that number comes from because he picked a number up from an audit when he took over and just took whatever number was there. So another item that we're working on is doing a physical inventory of all assets so we can start knowing what our better numbers are. But that's kind of our plan and how much of a payment. Mike will address that.
Yeah, I mean, we're negotiating it. Obviously, our point person for negotiations is not in the office right now because of the furlough, but we're proposing 10% of each payment for the next 2 years. We'll see. We have a lot to discuss with the USDA. I want to address the insurance because there's a public comment about the insurance. The USDA has not made a determination that we have to pay the insurance. We submitted some documents to them. It's a reasonable basis that we made the gave the advice a few months ago that we didn't have to pay the insurance. There was some language in there about self-insuring and us doing a risk analysis, and we submitted that to the USDA. And so they're evaluating that. So it's not it's not accurate to say that someone was misinformed or something like that. We're making good faith judgments, and the USDA is the ultimate decision maker, but both myself and Sandy looked at these documents and thought it was a very reasonable inference to make. And even the USDA, upon looking at it, said, well, we can't rule it out. So I don't think that anybody is trying to do anything except use our best judgment, which I think is very reasonable,
Chairman. Yeah, I asked with Jerry, you were there at that meeting. I mean, it's $181,000.
I was in favor of getting rid of it.
Yeah, okay, no, I'm just saying. And then the $250,000, it doesn't cover wind, doesn't cover tsunami, doesn't. Right. And I mean, we don't have it. I wish we had the money. We could. And we did ask the other comment. I just wanted to bring that to light and remind you. And you were in favor of it, but Anne said about her insurance company, or not her, but the insurance company that she found that might be less and cover tsunami. And I think we asked for you to look into that. Did you?
Yeah.
And did you get it? Not that we can afford the quote, but did you get a quote?
We haven't got a quote. We just submitted today the application. I mean, it was a lot of hours, Sandy's time, my time, Bill's time. They wanted a lot of supporting documentation. So, and thankfully, because the USDA is not in the office, we have extra time to get that feedback. So that's nice.
And my last comment is that you know, it's off the subject, but you know, there's just so much going on with such few people and our staff, and I feel very strong that we are doing the best we can as commissioners and as the staff that we have. And I honestly think we're doing a great, not myself, but our staff is doing a great job keeping us going, keeping the projects going, trying to balance the public comment and the public CTRs, which is exhausting in itself. And I just can say that we're just doing the best we can to move this harbor forward. And I think, I honestly feel very strongly that we're going to. We're going to manipulate some things. And she makes a comment that you can't do the CO tax. Well, I mean, there is ways around that. So, I mean, I'm just saying that there are options out there that I think we're going to be successful. I believe strongly we will be successful in this harbor.
Thank you.
Public
comment?
No.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll have some public comment.
Okay. So under Prop 218, which is Measure C, is where you get your TOT tax from. And under that proposition, it gives you the guidelines of how you are to get that tax. And right now, you're not going to get that tax because you got that guideline.
I don't write that.
Number two. Okay. Number two, the insurance issue. I wrote on June 26th to USDA, the day after the June 25th meeting, and I specifically requested and asked, does the harbor have to have insurance for the docks? They wrote me back and said you had to have insurance to cover all governmental assets. I will bring the email to you. Actually, I'll just forward it to y'all. Okay, so what Mr. Rademacher is saying is, once again, untruthful. He's misinforming the public, and he's misinforming you board members. And you can go ahead and laugh all you want to, because I've already got the information. Thank you.
Yes. I know that you have a sincere belief in what you're saying, but what you're talking about...
Point of order, can we not do back and forth?
Yeah, I
That's
think...
That's right.
We have anybody responding. Thank you very much.
You got a chance, Eddie.
Go ahead.
We've had information that's come in after your
comment, just like you.
Excuse me. This is not a back and he's making his own comment. No, stop it.
He didn't interrupt you.
I'm not interrupting.
Stop it.
If you're going to say that I'm making an untruthful statement, the very most recent meeting that we had with USDA, which was myself and Sandy was on the phone call, we talked about insurance, okay? And they said it's an open question. They're going to evaluate. They did not make any kind of determination. They said there was a reasonable basis, okay, for our interpretation. So
you're not credible.
You're uninformed. I'm sorry.
Again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more public comment?
All right. Any more public comment? All right. I'm adjourning this 2-hour and 20-minute general meeting, and the next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, November 12th, 2025.